Does anything gather children more readily than the words your father wants to speak to you? It's pointless to try to hide when mom and dad want to speak to you. My father would always find me, and sometimes he'd say, "Son, if ever you're called upon to speak to others, remember these three things." He said, "Stand up to be recognized, speak up to be heard and understood, and shut up to be appreciated." Insights I think he may have garnered from our selected readings that Mother Church brings us today. In the public square, Ezra the priest collects the nation around the Father's word and speaks to all who can hear and understand. A difficulty people occasionally share with me is the sense that they are unable to feel God's presence. When I suggest they pray, the reply is often, "Well, God just doesn't talk to me." And I suggest to them afterwards, "Have you tried listening to the pages of Scripture?" While it is so, humankind cannot comprehend the mystery of God, we can and certainly do experience God. A child in their mother's womb doesn't need to understand. Deep faith is the only experience needed of the child to assure them of their well-being. It's not because the mother lacks presence, but rather because the mother is all-encompassing. Understanding seems to be implied. Understanding and faith, we could say, are devoted companions of each other. And what humankind really wants to understand is something of our place and belonging in and about the community of God. Ezra dismisses the people on this holy day to go their way, eat of God's abundance, and drink the sweetness that pours forth from the chalice. And don't forget to bring something to those for whom nothing is prepared. I imagine shortly some of you will bring bread, wine, and charity to these tables of word and sacrificial feast. We will, after consecration and praying, our common prayer, stand, leave our pews, and come as one Eucharistic people of God to receive Jesus and similarly acclaim, "Amen." That oneness, brothers and sisters, never ceases to attract and collect and elevate all humanity into heaven's tenderness and joy. Breaches of our oneness only foster misunderstandings that inevitably generate strife, division, and marginalization, where, on the other hand, understanding collects, unites, and welcomes. The Christian movement, sisters and brothers, doesn't need any more misunderstanding, divisiveness, or sorters. It needs more listeners, peacemakers, and lovers. St. Paul tells us so clearly that it is in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. And today, Mother Church asks us to pray in a special way for those displaced from their sense of home and belonging. Understanding is the first step on any path to inclusion and fullness, because it extends and expands the willing participant's mind and heart. Understanding is a primer that makes possible the flow of God's mercy. It won't be political, judicial, or even theological debate that unites our movement. Instead, it will be Jesus, the prime sacrament of God, around which Christians must unite. When we scan Christian history, it leaves us puzzled in how we could ever have been so divided when collectively we share one faith and one baptism. We have so much in common, and even more today in the way popular culture targets all Christian traditions. I follow up wondering if attempts to scrub or overwrite the gospel message would crumble if ever exposed to our collective power of reason and experience. In Nazareth, Jesus, not unlike Ezra, has a message for his hometown crowd. In the synagogue, he is asked that day to serve as lector. The attendant brings the book of Isaiah, but the town's native son will select the reading. The passage chosen is from Isaiah chapter 61, also known as the Mission to the Afflicted Discourse. Our Lord is well prepared to proclaim this lesson, as are all good and effective lectors. His homily, interestingly enough, is but 9 words long. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. First, I challenge you to find a preacher able similarly to keep their homilies to under 9 words. But more, I wonder, could we replace the pronoun Jesus uses in these verses with our own name? Let's try under our breath. The Spirit of the Lord is upon, because he has anointed to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year 2019, one knowing the Lord's favor. Friends, return to the scriptures often and to this pledge, allowing our words to deeply fashion us. Bring the gospel into your heart and allow it to re-energize our baptismal vows and draw us ever closer to the Father in holy Eucharistic joy. Amen.